You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is hour number two. Fantasy Sports Radio Network Roto Experts, alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, the National Championship game is over. Alabama are victorious. And now all eyes turn to the divisional round weekend in the NFL, where Antonio Brown is expected to return in full against the Jags.
Yeah, talked to Dr. A this past week, and Antonio Brown is 100% healthy, ready to go back out there. Obviously, they got a big-time matchup coming in. Jalen Ramsey, the Jackson 5, Saxonville, coming into Heinz Field to do battle with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think you look at this contest as one of the games that we have circled as a game that's going to be one of the better games of the NFL season. 5 interceptions for Ben last time these two teams met up. Obviously, much different situation now. But I like the spot that Jacksonville's in. Blake Bortles and crew, they go in there with no pressure. Pittsburgh is supposed to win this game. Pittsburgh's supposed to be one of the teams playing in the Super Bowl. So Jacksonville, all they have to do is just go in there, calm and relax. They've already had a great season for them. Not just saying that they're going to quit, but they get to go in there with the advantage of not having all that pressure on them.
I kind of like the Steelers. I really do. Look, Bortles did not want to throw the ball at all. Corey's right, though. They've had a successful season. They got that playoff win at home. They have a chance with that defense. That they do. But Juju was one of the, you know, he's one of the rising stars in the league here. If AB is fully healthy, Bell, I think this is a redemption game for the Steelers. I like Pittsburgh.
Interestingly enough, Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't as major of a part of this offense with Jacksonville. He's one of these guys, like you said, could become a star. And if he does, he's going to be one of these guys that, because of the playoff score, he rises in a major way next fantasy draft season.
Yeah, I think he's already going to probably more than likely be drafted as a top 20 to 25 wide receiver. So you're not really going to get a discount on Smith-Schuster. Like we're going off of what we know now. But as Matt has mentioned, and I think Christopher Carroll also, be an NFFC Hall of Famer, be very careful, you know, when you go. Ben Roethlisberger may not be there next season, put it like that. And if that's the case, then you have to readjust your boards, because we don't know what that offense would look like without Big Ben.
Steelers win a Super Bowl, Big Ben's done.
He's gonna
walk off into the sunset.
I agree with that. And maybe they'll draft Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield will be gone by then.
Maybe so.
If somebody smart should draft Baker Mayfield before they draft any of those two quarterbacks they're talking about now, Baker Mayfield should be a New York quarterback.
For
Jets
or
Giants.
For those playing fantasy playoff football and they were not scared off by Antonio Brown, but a little hesitant to put Antonio Brown in your lineup against Jalen Ramsey, his first game back with the Jags. Last time when they were... Pittsburgh faced Jacksonville and lost. AB had 10 catches for 157 yards.
Yeah, you just know.
AB is all world.
Yeah, you can't really.
But if Ben is not there, it shakes up
certainly,
the board.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. In the Fantasy Sports Radio Network mock that we're kind of doing, we're going to talk about later on in today's show, in the mock, Juju Smith-Schuster went as wide receiver 29.
That was a great pick.
Okay, wide receiver 29. That's a good value at 29.
You like that?
Yeah.
I would have took him on the turn.
All right, so that's wide receiver 29 there in our mock. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on. A couple more football headlines to get to, and we will when we come back. This is your Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Now, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's a Roto Experts program. A couple more football notes to get to now that the national championship is over. Division round is here. course, none of these notes are really
best weekend of the year.
The division round. It is the best weekend of the year. You know, my dad's actually said that my entire life. He goes, this weekend is the best weekend of football of the year.
It is.
This is the best games.
But yep. But there's no real marquee game this weekend, though.
I think Minnesota and New Orleans is the marquee game.
Yeah,
it's not your traditional teams. I understand that, right? Like, I know that's what you're saying. I know Patriots or Cowboys or Packers or Niners or anything like that. I get it. But that's the marquee game of the weekend. Is the Saints and the Vikings.
Yeah. You got Tennessee going to go to New England to get hammered. Jacksonville and Pittsburgh.
Fun game.
Yeah. The Saints in Minnesota is the best that we have. Atlanta's going to go and walk all over Philadelphia. I mean, you got a backup quarterback. Look at the quarterbacks playing this weekend. Blake Bortles, Nick Foles.
Case Keenum.
Mm-hmm. And then, Mariota.
Well, Andy Reid robbed us of that Chiefs-Patriots.
That's the one we wanted to see.
Saturday night would have been good.
But Andy Reid decided that he wanted something else to do this weekend.
Well, maybe he had a major on vacation.
Huh?
He had a vacation book.
He probably had a vacation book. He was like, "Hunt, you go back there."
Yeah.
Me and Dr. Ray are going.
Andy Reid's offensive coordinator has a vacation book. Chicago.
Wild. Good for him.
Matt Nagy is now the official head coach of the Chicago Bears. Eliminated Saturday, interviewed Sunday, announced as the coach on Monday.
Are they still paying John Fox?
Maybe for a year. Nothing's serious.
This is like an AFC North hire. This is like a don't want to spend big money hire.
I don't know about that. Matt Nagy was a popular candidate, I think.
He was like Bitcoin. He soared up once he got the
football
duties. They have a young quarterback, so you're taking a quarterback. Look at Alex Smith's season here too. He worked with him and stuff. It's all going to come down to what do the Bears do this offseason to upgrade this offense? You have a running back there in place. You have a young quarterback. If you don't get him weapons, then it's all for naught.
Oh, you got to use Cohen. I think using Cohen.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, using Cohen is something that can really help this offense out.
Vertically.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
have to be able to do yeah. something. You have to let this kid
throw the ball.
They got to draft the wide receiver.
They got to get wide receivers on this team.
Definitely.
I mean, signing that Marcus Wheaton contract was ridiculous. You look at it last season. The money they gave to him. Okay, now the other two injuries, the other two receivers.
Cam Meredith and Kevin White bust.
Yeah.
I think Meredith can play. We got to check his situation with his injury next time we talk to Dr. A. Because he did have a real serious ACL tear carted off back in the preseason. I think Howard and Cohen, I think you got to get Cohen more involved. You use Howard the correct way. The quarterback is key, though, into the future of the Chicago Bears.
I agree. So supposedly Matt Nagy, like Mitchell Trubisky coming out of college, was just a year ago, with Kansas City was looking...
Well, if I'm interviewing, I like him, too.
but listen,
I love him.
But listen, you have to be able to sell... You have to, as a coach, potential coach, sell yourself on that quarterback and make it work. Remember, Kansas City was looking for a quarterback last year, and they ultimately went for Patrick Mahomes and traded up for him, but they had Mitchell Trubisky in there.
Yeah.
And Nagy, I guess, liked what he saw enough to pursue that Chicago job. And Nagy is the one that supposedly reinvigorated this Kareem Hunt thing. He was the co-offensive coordinator with Doug Peterson. Peterson left. He was promoted to the full offensive coordinator position. He got a lot out of Kareem Hunt. Was able to get a lot out of Tyreek Hill. And they believe the Chicago Bears, he's going to come in there, not revitalize, but continue to push Jordan Howard the correct direction, continue to push Tariq Cohen the correct direction, and do something with this passing game.
Yeah, doing something with a passing game is going to be the key part right here. You're in a division that has that features Aaron Rodgers, so you have to be able to make sure that you'll be able to put in a spot where you can compete. Obviously, defense is going to be key. It seems like they're going in that right direction on that side of the ball. Now you get a chance to come in here and bring some stability to it and invigorate some new ideas. But the critical part is, how is he going to get this young quarterback to take the next step? I don't think Trubisky has it, to be honest with you.
It's a passing league.
Say that.
It's a passing league, the NFL. And this is like the anti-John Fox hire.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
They went as far away as they could. So there's some hope in that. But they can't just draft wide receivers. They have to sign a proven wide receiver. They got to take somebody out of this market. And also get a wide receiver in the draft. So they really need to up the ante here on the offense. Like Corey said, you got Aaron Rodgers in this division. So right then and there, you're going to have... Look, the Chicago Bears, the monsters of the Midway, that's like caveman times.
Not to change the subject right quick, Matt, but your guy, Sammy Watkins, is talk that he wants to go to Houston.
Put him in Houston. Deshaun Watson with that trio. I don't want him to go to Chicago.
Did Deshaun Watson? No, they didn't play together.
No, they did not play together.
It'd be the Clemson Tigers.
Basically, it would be.
That'd be fun.
Mm-hmm. They got a lot. Jadeveon Clowney, Watson.
I mean,
Hopkins.
I'm so excited for Watson. I hope he's fully healthy. Has no setbacks.
Who else?
We've done this before. So move on. Yeah, anyway, Matt Nagy, yes, the opposite of John Fox. I know you don't love the guy or love the hire, Corey, but in this market, there's very few guys that are not retread hires, right? There's very few guys this cycle that haven't been around. Matt Nagy is one of those guys. He's a younger dude.
The ability to call plays.
He's 39 years old.
Yeah, no, the ability to call plays is very big when you're trying to come up as a coach. You know what I'm saying? That's the ability to be the guy that's out there calling the plays. But like Emery said on Sunday, sometime might be the best thing to do is drop down and look at some of these position coaches. If I'm not mistaken, Sean Payton was a position coach.
He was the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, wasn't he?
I think he was like something like the passing game coordinator, something like that.
Scott Linehan's the passing game coordinator, but he's really offensive coordinator.
Well, Scott, this was before Scott Linehan.
Yes, of course.
But I'm talking.
Sean Payton was the Giants' special teams coach.
Sean Payton at some point.
No, Sean Payton was the Giants' offensive coordinator.
Okay,
and then went to Dallas, and then got fired. And then John Fossil took play calling duties away from him. Then he left, and he went to Dallas. Maybe he was their. I don't know if he's their quarterback coach.
He was
or
in Dallas
game
with Bill Parcells.
Correct.
He did something with Bill Parcells.
Correct.
He may have been calling plays, but yeah, calling plays is something that's important. Like you said, once you start calling plays.
Correct.
That's when owners start looking at you as a guy that can run the franchise and the organization. But I think that some of these position coaches, too, should be able to be given opportunities to begin interviews because, you know, just because they're not calling plays now doesn't mean that they don't know how to call plays.
Well, I mean, for all his faults, we all say Andy Reid is a good coach.
He is.
He just Andy Reid's himself.
Yeah.
You know, at certain points in the season, and then the playoffs are just, you know, all comes to a head. So now, if you're looking at coaching trees, you're taking a guy who's calling plays from a good coaching tree. And look, this team needs to go for the offensive way. They invested, they traded up from 3-2, gave San Francisco all that. So for me, it was the hire. I like this hire.
Interestingly enough, in his NFL coaching career, Matt Nagy was always by Andy Reid's side. He was signed. He was a coaching intern for Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And when Kevin Cobb got injured like back in 2009, they signed Matt Nagy. And the NFL disapproved the contract because I think, yes, he was working as a coaching intern. And like, nah, that doesn't work for us.
Yeah.
So they then disclosed those press conference that they would not try to pursue him to signing him. And he would remain a coaching intern. Eventually, he was promoted to an assistant, then a quality control coach. And then he went with Andy Reid to KC, became the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator. And now he's
the
head coach.
Worked his way up through
39 years old.
Worked his way up through the ladder, more or less, like you said, come from that Andy Reid.
It's a Sean McVay thing. 39 years old.
West Coast.
Here's why I really like it. It's just, it's not recycling the same crap.
Mm-hmm.
And at least you're going with an offensive mind here. So, I don't know. I think that hopefully the Bears.
Better than John Fox.
Football, like the Bears are this old school team. They
right.
have all the tradition. I don't want to see the Bears be terrible. I'll just be honest with you.
Sure. Sure. You know, it's kind of like.
It's tough with Aaron Rodgers in that division, though.
It is. And it also is tough because the Bears haven't been fun in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legitimately, even when they were good, it was like Lovie Smith. And that team was, like, so boring.
The team was boring.
The team was fun back in the mid 80s, though.
Right.
Now that was.
Listen, all those cats.
Right. I'm sure that was great. But literally, literally, in the last 30 years, they have not been fun.
I mean, you look at that team offensively throughout that era. Even when they were good.
Rex Grossman, yeah. Marty Booker,
Jim McMahon.
That was the 80s.
Yeah, he stunk too. To be honest with you, he was good for one season.
Right. They had a quarterback forever.
Yeah, man, and I don't think the truth is the guy. I don't think Trubisky is the guy.
I think it's too early to say that. I mean, I'm not saying he's Deshaun Watson who came out firing, but I don't think necessarily.
Yeah, I can't judge him.
I can't do that yet.
If Deshaun Watson had that Bears receiving core and stuff, it's a lot different when you have D-Hop and a guy like Fuller who can take top off. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Watson. I took him on the turn in our little mock draft there. But, you know, you need playmakers. You need playmakers on your team.
You certainly do. Speaking of playmakers, the Oakland Raiders are trying to bring some coaching staff in to work with their playmakers. Paul Gunther is now the official defensive coordinator for Oakland. Greg Olsen returns to Oakland. He was Derek Carr's quarterback's coach his rookie year, former offensive coordinator in multiple places. He hasn't exactly had success. He's now the offensive coordinator for John Gruden, who will be officially announced today as the head coach.
So basically,
of the
Olsen will just, his job will be to learn Gruden's system, correct, work with Gruden, install the plays, and
correct,
more or less take it from that. And that'd be his thing right there.
Correct. Your boy Terrell Austin, also the official defensive coordinator of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, indeed it does. All right, take a break. We're going to come back. Let's look at how we did our over-unders this year, gentlemen. Let's find out exactly how we did. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Live with you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're simulcasting live on the television network. Corey Farson, Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Guys, we did over-unders before the season started, and like a moron, I didn't write the numbers down of like, we were under 10 and a half. You know, so that was, you know, not great of me. But,
yeah. That's on you.
That's on you. Yeah, that's on you. All right. Yeah. So I have last night's. I have the over unders here. I have the over unders here, and here we go. So we'll start with KC New England because they opened the season up with the first game of the season, and for Kansas City, the over under was 9 games. Everybody said under 9 wins.
I think I had them in last place.
Except for me. So I win.
I think I had the Chiefs in last and the Patriots going undefeated.
You had the Patriots going undefeated indeed. The Patriots over-under was 12 and a half games.
They did go over.
They went over. Everybody said over except you.
Yeah.
You said under for New England. So let's see. I'm going to keep score. So I have now 2. Matt has 1. Corey... You don't have any.
So far,
yeah. All right, here we go. Let's go to the beginning. The Arizona Cardinals, they were over under 8.5 this year. They're over. Should I get the records up here? That
would be helpful. Okay, cool. Yeah. No problem.
Thank you. So the record for the Arizona Cardinals this year was 8-8. They finished 8-8. The over under for them, as I said, was 8.5. They finished under.
8-8. If you would have told me they lose David Johnson week 1 and win 8 games, I'd say it's a pretty damn good season.
The only person that said they were under? Fantasy executive, Corey Parsons.
There you go. He's on the board.
Just like that. He gets on the board. The Atlanta Falcons over-under was 9.5. What'd they finish at, Corey?
The Atlanta Falcons finished 10-6.
They went over. How about that? They went over. For the Atlanta Falcons, everybody said they went over. Except me, which leaves us all with 2 correct. Any surprises so far? Because not really, because you kind of had them right.
I guess not.
All right. For the Baltimore Ravens, I know we all said under for this one. The Ravens were 9-7 this year. They're over-under for the Ravens? Over-under 8. Over-under 8.
That's not right. It was like 9.5. Mm.
Well, according to this, it was 8. Yeah. According to Bovada, it was 8, man.
I'm challenging that because I loved that under.
I remember
like
we loved it.
9.5, 9.
I think it was 8. This is what we have.
I'm challenging it. It's incorrect.
You're challenge the call the field stands.
There were 2 over-under totals that stood out to me. That was Tennessee over the 8.5 and Baltimore under 9.5 or 9.
Well, so Tennessee is over under 8.5. I do have that here. Baltimore is 8. That's what we did. It's the same site. Bovada. He's just, I want, for those that aren't watching,
I will not accept that result.
For those on the, who are just listening on the radio, Matt's literally just staring at me and shaking his head. That's all he's doing. He's just staring at me and shaking his head. The Baltimore Ravens go actually over 8, so we all get that one incorrect. I'm sorry, Matt. The Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills over under a 6 this year. They went over that number. We all said under. We are all once again incorrect. And I'm sure you're not upset about that one.
No, I'm not upset about it. I'm upset about some things that happened on Sunday.
But. There you go. For the Carolina Panthers, the over-under was 8.5. This is a good one. Everybody said under, but you, Matt Modica, you said over, interestingly enough.
Carolina won 11 games.
I had them winning the division, and fortunately, you know, they were tied with the Saints.
Yeah, Carolina. So Carolina in general, Carolina had a really good year. We talked about this yesterday on the show.
This could be New Orleans.
Could be New Orleans.
That's it.
That was it. Three out of their 6 losses when it was all said and done.
New Orleans. The Saints.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
That's their new owner.
I don't have a bell right here, but I would have rang the bell. That was great.
Yeah, that's their new owner.
That was great. That's their new owner indeed. Chicago, the Chicago Bears, over under for the Bears was 5.5. What's their record, Corey?
5-11.
5-11. That means they were under, which everybody got right, except for me. I said they'd go over 5.5.
You were optimistic on the Bears.
I bought into the street. Hall of Famer. I got it up by anyone.
I remember that. This.
Yeah. Well, whatever. The Cincinnati Bengals over under was 8.5.
They won 7 games.
They won 7 games. Everybody said over. Except Matt Modica, who said under.
And they brought back their coach.
And they brought back Marvin Lewis.
I wonder how that negotiation went. Like, all right,
he's like, look, I'll give you $15 an hour.
Okay? He said, I'm leaving. This. I've had enough of this. I'm leaving. He said, listen, your road game stipend is $200. He said, okay, I'm fine. I'll stay.
I just realized by looking at our list here, we skipped the Dallas Cowboys.
Thank God.
We skipped the Dallas Cowboys, so... whatever.
I would have said over.
I would have said over also. We never did Denver because these teams played the 2 Monday night games. We didn't do any. We didn't do
what
the 2 Monday
the
night
Cowboys?
Games.
What was it? So I said no team in the NFC.
Cowboys, what, 9.5?
Cowboys were 9.5, yeah.
And they won 9.
Cowboys were 9.5. You would have taken the under. You would have been right there. We didn't take that. We didn't
the Eagles
do Denver.
Did win 13 games.
Detroit was over under 8. It was over under 8.
I had
8.
The under. I know that.
What was their total?
Detroit Lions final record for the Detroit Lions was 9-7.
So they went over.
And they fired their coach at 9-7.
And they fired their coach at 9-7.
Their coach who has 7 games over 500 in his
career. I thought they were 6-10, 9-7.
Corey, you are the only one out of the 3 of us to get that correct.
Yeah. I don't understand why they fired their coach to hire Patricia. It's not like this was like some big time hire. We had to go get our guy. This is Matt. This is the guy that's never coached in the NFL before. We know how Belichick's tree hasn't really worked out. You fired him to go get a guy that's going to do worse than this. I'm trying to figure out why they did that.
Yeah, I'm with Corey. If you're gonna fire Caldwell, you got to make a step up.
Yeah, you got to make a step up. You don't hire the D coordinator from the Patriots. You don't do that.
Well, I think that that was their guy, right? Like, that was obviously their guy.
But why, though?
Yeah, why?
Because they felt the defense was the bugaboo.
Okay, but you get a better defensive coach than that.
Who?
I don't know.
Name one.
Where's Lovie Smith?
Smith a better defensive guy at this point in his career?
A better defensive
That's
coach.
That's what you want. A better defensive coach right now.
If you want a better defensive minded coach, then I could. Right now, it doesn't come to my top mind.
Matt Patricia's the best. That's why.
It's hard for me to say he's the best.
How could you say that?
I think he probably needs the he's the one people want to see the most.
Yeah.
But I don't let go of Caldwell for that. Not when you're the Detroit Lions.
Caldwell was not winning anything.
He was 7 games over 500. This is the Detroit Lions.
How many playoff games did he win?
They had Dallas beat.
But
they had Dallas beat.
They got screwed.
Yeah, they got screwed. You know, so that would have been his one playoff win.
Would have, could have,
I'm
should
glad
have.
It didn't happen though.
The Green Bay Packers over under was 10 games. They did not get there thanks to the Aaron Rodgers injury. But Matt Modica, you said they get under. Corey, I said over. It's a nice job by you, Green Bay Packer. Under. Houston Texans. Over under for Houston was 8.5 games because of Deshaun Watson's injury. They did not get there. Corey Parson, you said over. Matt Nibel said under. I finally get back on the board here.
They would have been over, though, if Watson would have played. They would have been over.
Well, they didn't.
No, so yeah, it doesn't count.
Can't
take that to the teller and be like,
this is the winner, man.
Play.
Indianapolis Colts were at 9. Over-under 9.
I said over, probably.
I hope not for you.
I was thinking Luck was coming back, so I'm curious to what I said.
Everybody said under.
Oh.
Everybody said under for the Colts. The Jacksonville Jaguars, over-under 6. Obviously, they go over. For the Jaguars, Matt says over, and Corey and I both said under.
Yeah. I thought it would take a while for Marone and Coughlin to get this thing rolling. I really did.
For the Rams, everybody said over 5.5. Nice job, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody saw that coming. Matt, you're crushing
You know why? You know why?
Because what do I get as a pros?
Jeff Fisher wasn't there. They got a buffet out there,
I'll
Matt.
Take a plate of bacon. I'll go Engel on this
plate. Yeah. And be like, well, I shared with everybody. Nah, when Jeff Fisher left, you figured it would be sunny skies.
Yeah, and there was. We obviously saw that coming. For the Miami Dolphins, again, we did not do the Chargers. They played on Monday night. The Dolphins, the over-under was 7.5. They won how many games, Corey?
The Chargers
Miami
won,
Dolphins.
Excuse me, the
six.
Miami Dolphins won 6 games.
So they were under 7.5. Everybody said over.
Yeah, I thought they would. I thought with the division, I thought the Bills and the Jets would maybe combine for like 5 wins. So I thought Miami would benefit.
Speaking of a team everyone chose over for, the New York Giants, everyone chose over. I don't even tell you what their win total was. They weren't over it.
Oh, I can tell you what the Giants.
You don't have to.
No,
the Giant win total?
Let me look that up. Let me look that up. The New York Giants won 3 games this year. They lost 13 contests.
Yes.
2 of those to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes. Yeah. The year before, they beat the Cowboys twice.
Once. Or they did twice. They did.
They did, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, the New York Jets over-under was 4.5. They went over that.
What's interesting about this over-under total, it went from 4.5 to 5.5, so depending upon where you got it,
right.
it made a really big difference.
We had it at 4.5.
Yep.
You two gentlemen both said under. I said over. That's a point for Greg.
There you go.
How about that? For the Oakland Raiders, the Raiders were over-under 10.
I probably said over.
You sure did. You sure did. I said under. Here comes Greg in the back stretch.
6 wins for the Oakland Raiders this year. Just a lot of things.
I may have to pull that chain off.
Yeah, a lot of things went wrong. The Marshawn Lynch thing was bad. The situation with the O-line and Derek Carr, I just think it was a lot of turmoil inside that locker room this year.
I was watching the NFL Network, and I think they had Donald Penn on, and they were showing where they were the previous year and then last year, points per game and everything, and what a train wreck.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, over-under was 8. We all said under. Scotty actually was the one that said over. That was a nice job. King, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the over-under was 10.5. They go over that number, and the only one of us to go over? Matt Modica. Matt Modica goes over there. I wonder what Scott was doing. I'm not tabulating his results.
13 wins for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Great, great seasons for them.
We chose 5 more over-unders. It's going to be tough to be Matt Modica. Can we do it? Our over-under predictions continue on right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We will get back to the national championship game in a little bit. Alabama, the Crimson Tide, your national champs. So we'll get back to that in a little bit. Going over over-unders, Matt Modica, a heavy lead at the moment. Heavy lead.
I didn't see any Crimson Tide on the sidelines last night. I saw Todd Gurley.
Landon Collins was there.
I didn't see Landon Collins. Mm-hmm. I saw Todd Gurley. Mm-hmm.
Aaron Murray was there for Georgia.
Okay, I didn't see
him
either.
Why don't we even talk about when that player went after the coach? That was pretty crazy.
That was crazy.
And then the other player collapsed on the side.
Yeah, that was wild, too. Yeah, I hope that kid is all right.
It really seemed like everything was going wrong for Nick Saban that whole night. Like,
he was at national championship again.
That kid that collapsed was a freshman.
As they said in History of the World Part 1.
I'm sorry. That kid that collapsed was a freshman, too, so I hope he's okay.
Insane, absolutely. I was reading this morning And look at Giants coaching updates. The Nick Saban's buyout is $26.5 million.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. His buyout's $26.5 million.
So you
can't lose.
It would basically cost about $150
million. It's going to cost you almost $200 million.
You got to figure it's at least $125.
I feel like only Jim Irsay would do that.
Yep. That's the kind of guy that would do it.
Yeah.
Wow. He can't lose, Nick Saban.
No.
He won.
He won life already.
Yeah.
He's got it rigged. He's got it.
Yeah.
Is he still married, Nick Saban?
If he wants to be. Yeah. Yo, we went dark right here. I don't know why that happened.
Oh boy, hand me the remote. Thank you. All right, so I'll have to look this up.
It's in the back now.
There you go.
I don't know what's going on. It's the ghost of Ted Finn.
All right, let me.
I did shed a tear on Sunday when Ted Ginn caught that.
Yeah, that was
you have
nice.
To. You had to yeah. have. Okay, so continuing on, gentlemen, with our over-unders, the San Francisco 49ers. We all said over. We all said over for the Niners. We didn't even know Gucci was there.
Man. We didn't even know Gucci was a thing.
The over-under was 5. They got the five.
They got 6 and 10.
They got the 6.
6 and 10 with 5 Gucci wins from Gucci Garoppolo.
Oh, man. What a guy. Gucci's the best. The Seattle Seahawks. Over-under for the Seahawks was 10.5. They did not finish 10.5 wins. The only person that said they would not.
Fantasy executive.
It was the fantasy executive.
I remember me and Scott.
I like the Cardinals, so I thought that was going to be.
He said over. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, God.
The over-under was 8.5. Only one person said under. That's Wall Street Matt Mojica said under 8.5. Matt's going to win this running away with it.
Wow, the Buccaneers 5-11.
It just doesn't look right. And the coach came back. The GM came back.
The whole crew's back. I think they deserve another opportunity. Them getting that bye in week one, it just looked bad after that.
I don't know. I think they should have cleaned house.
The Tennessee Titans was over under 8.5. What did they finish? They finished 9, right?
9. No, you got that. No, I said over that.
They got the last one. We all said over for that one.
So after Marcus Mariota these last 2 weeks, though, I know for the most part we've killed him all year, especially his fantasy.
Got the job done.
Don't like what he's done. But for his team the past 2 weeks, swagalicious.
But next
Hawaiian
year,
quarterbacks are becoming a thing.
You're going to say the same thing next year, that he's injured again. I think you're right on that. The talent is there.
I don't know if I want him as my fantasy quarterback, to be honest with you.
And with that, the last one is Washington. The over-under was 8. It was like 7.5. We all said under to that one. We did not do the final four teams, and we somehow missed Dallas. Don't know how that happened. And the final scores are Corey and I.
I would have got that wrong.
Corey and I both finished with 10 correct.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Modica, 15 correct.
That's good.
Over half of the ones we did. So if you would have bet every over-under in Vegas, you would have won money.
Hopefully next year we can do this again.
By the way, I also have our playoff previews here. Corey, you and I had the exact same playoff teams.
Yeah.
We got one correct. Do you know the one that we got right?
The one team that we got correct.
We got one right.
In the NFC or in the whole thing?
This is just the NFC.
In the NFC?
The NFC. Huh?
Atlanta.
Correct. We both had Atlanta. Matt Modica, in the NFC, you had 3 right. You had 3 of the 6 teams correct. How about that? You had the Vikings, the Panthers, and the Falcons. All correct. Nice job by you. In the AFC, wow, I got 4 out of 6, right?
That's good.
That's good, yeah. You got 1, 2, 3 out of 6, right, Corey?
Yeah.
Mr. Modica, you got 1, 2, 3 out of 6, right? You got 3 out of 6.
So we had New England, Pittsburgh, and
we all
Tennessee.
Had New England, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee.
I had Oakland.
You had Oakland as well. You also had your Chargers.
Oh, that was close. They almost pulled that off.
You had the Texans.
Deshaun Watson, yep.
And the one that I had that you guys both didn't have was the Chiefs.
I picked
the Chiefs there. And that is...
I just wish Andy Reid could get it
The AFC
man.
West brought me down.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I might have hit 20.
You might have for sure. Conference championships, only one person has the Falcons in the conference championship in the NFC. That person is...
Scott.
Corey Parson.
I had them in against the Giants.
Corey Parson, the Falcons versus the Cowboys in his NFC championship.
Really?
Yes, sir.
I just would have been the Giants. I thought the Giants were going this year.
You did not.
Who'd I have?
Scott Engel had the Vikings versus the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Modica had the Seahawks versus the Packers. Mm-hmm. And I had the Packers versus the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not come to fruition. For the AFC, I had the Patriots versus... you had the Patriots versus the Titans. That's happening right now. I have the Patriots versus the Steelers.
That's happening next week.
That's going to be the AFC Championship. Yeah. That's a nice job.
I had the Raiders versus the Patriots.
You had the Raiders versus the Patriots. Yeah. Scotty had the Patriots versus the Steelers. The Super Bowl matchup, Corey, you thought the Falcons were going to get back there against the Oakland Raiders.
And that still could happen.
Not the Raiders part.
No.
It's odd that I don't have Minnesota like winning the Super Bowl because I'm just...
You've been saying it. Yeah. You have the Raiders winning it all. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
The Raiders winning it all. Scott picked the Giants to win it all.
They finished with three wins.
And Matt and I both picked the Pats to win it all. You thought they were going undefeated.
Okay. They're still going to win the Super Bowl.
I hope so.
Minnesota's going to win.
This is actually great. I forgot we predicted this. We predicted who would have the first overall pick. Three out of the four of us had the same one.
The Cleveland Browns?
Nope. I'll tell you
the
what.
New York Jets.
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Shout out to the Jets.
Going 5-11. You, Scott, and I all picked the Jets. Do you remember who you picked, Matt Wadiga?
The Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. He picks his own Bills to have the worst record in the NFL, and they went to the playoffs.
Look at that.
Same thing next year.
Look at that.
Our MVP choices. You chose Ezekiel Elliott.
Yep.
He was suspended.
Didn't happen.
No.
Almost ran for 1,000 yards. That's with six games missed and running for 2 yards versus the Broncos in week 2.
Correct. Scotty chose a back-to-back MVP for Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan was subpar this year.
Yes, he was. Matt Modica chose Tom Brady. Safe choice.
Could happen.
Very well could happen still. I chose Russell Wilson.
That could happen.
I'm happy with that too.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think it's Ty Gurley and Russell Wilson are the only two solid candidates, you know.
I can't give it to Russell Wilson.
Because the team didn't make the playoffs?
You got to make the playoffs.
I understand. Russell Wilson was awesome, though.
No, he was. But that late in those last couple of games when they needed to get a win or two there.
They didn't get it. Yeah.
They didn't get it.
I pick Russell Wilson every year for this category. I'm just going to keep doing it until he wins it, which is probably happening at some point.
I don't know. It could be different next year.
Do you think the Seahawks are going trending down?
If they get a running back, then Russell Wilson doesn't put up 5,000 yards of total offense. Did he get the 5,000 yards of total offense this year? Russell running and passing.
Hang on, I'll look. Give me a moment.
Because that's a very good accomplishment right there. If you can combine for 5,000 yards of total offense.
I still think even with a running game and a better line, he's still going to put up. Look, he's still going to put up points next year. I'm curious to see where he's going to go.
Russell Wilson threw for 39.83.
Oh, so he didn't get it. Okay.
And then he rushed for another 5.86.
Okay, so that's so like 46
touchdowns.
He had three rushing touchdowns on the year. 34 passing touchdowns. I was looking at this yesterday. It's actually crazy. Do you know how many quarterbacks threw for 30 touchdowns this year?
Probably just three.
Correct. Three.
Russell Wilson?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Who else?
Russell Wilson,
Kirk Cousins didn't get it.
Brady didn't get it?
No. Brady got it.
Oh, Brady got it. Okay.
Brady was at 32.
Wilson, Brady.
Alex Smith?
Nope. Alex Smith was at 26.
Let's think about this.
Think away.
Ben Roethlisberger?
Nope. Roethlisberger's at 28.
Okay.
It's not Big Ben.
Isn't this crazy?
This is interesting.
Only three quarterbacks threw for 30 touchdowns. Brady, Wilson, and?
Phil Rivers.
Phil Rivers had 28.
Wow.
I'm drawing a blank.
It wouldn't be Carson Wentz.
It's Carson Wentz.
It was Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Wow.
Carson
Wentz. He would have been MVP candidate.
He would have been the MVP candidate, absolutely. He had 33 touchdowns on the year, one less than Russell Wilson, and he only played 13 games with Carson Wentz.
Big time season for
him. His efficiency on third down was remarkable. His touchdowns, interceptions. I mean, it wasn't like he was passing for over 300 yards a game.
No.
He pretty much was like a 220-something every game, but he had three touchdowns versus no interceptions. So.
Yep, definitely. Definitely.
I want to see their 2018 opponents.
But like Dr. A said,
wants to be the best.
You know, you have to be worried about Wentz next year if you listen to what Dr. A told us.
Yeah, Wentz, maybe we can get Don Burns to find that audio and re-rack that. Carson Wentz is going to be... he's going to be right up against Carson Wentz. Might be into the season with his ACL tear.
That hip injury too.
He tore what Dr. A said. He tore his IT band. Also, nobody's talking about that, but that adds extra stress to the recovery. So, Carson Wentz could be looking at some tougher times. And they are home for obviously the NFC East teams. Carolina comes in, Atlanta comes in, Houston comes in. Minnesota and Indianapolis come in. It's going to be a tough schedule for them next year.
It's a tough schedule.
They go to New Orleans. They go to Tampa. They go to Jacksonville. They go to Tennessee. They go to the Rams. Those are all playoff teams.
A very, very tough schedule for Philadelphia. The last thing we picked, by the way, the last thing we picked was your rookies of the year. Both Scotty and Corey selected Dalvin Cook. Yep.
Could have been it.
I selected Christian McCaffrey.
I took Kareem Hunt.
And you took Kareem Hunt.
Who's, in my opinion, should be the rookie of the year.
Over Alvin Kamara.
He's the leading rusher in football.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong.
What more can you do, your rookie year?
I was upset that Scott didn't choose Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
I was upset about that. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I got another baseball question for Matt and a player that he wanted to talk about. So it'll be fun. It's Roto Experts. It's Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, we're back here now, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I want to talk some baseball. I'm trying to do a couple players today to get us refreshed and get into it. And then when the FSTA draft finishes, we'll get into their mock draft, and we'll go full throttle into it. But Matt, I saw you tweeting about a guy like last night. What we're going to start doing is you tweet about random players every day, and I'm going to just take those and put it in here.
It just comes into mind. There's really no process to it.
I feel like what Matt does, he's like a player goes to mind, he's like, let me go to Fangraphs and see what this guy is, and here he is.
I get like an idea of what I want to do.
Right.
Something kind of triggers some kind of thing.
Right.
But there is no formula to it.
Well, the player that you were tweeting about last night was Zach Greinke. And Zach Greinke, after a really bad first year in Arizona, came back and was very, very good for most of last season. My question to you is, and someone that's been drafting, has a few drafts under his belt already, is Zach Greinke 1A? Is he like the top of the top where you could draft Zach Greinke, you know, in the first few rounds and be like, I have my go-to ace. I'm good.
He can be an ace. I would rather him be my two.
Okay.
But yes, if you want to go hitting heavy and Greinke's your ace, I don't think you're in a bad spot. To me, he's a top 12 starting pitcher this season. I'll probably take Aaron Nola above him. Maybe that's wrong. I mean, Greinke, in what, 3 out of the last 4 years, has pitched 200 innings, struck out 200 batters. I know people, you know, win totals we don't like to look at. It's not predictable. But when I look at a guy that's got 17, 19, 13, and 17 over the last 4 years, you know, there's something to say about it. He takes the ball every fifth day. If they put that humidor in Arizona, that's going to be interesting. That should help him, Robbie Ray. I mean, at home last year, he had a better ERA than on the road. So, I mean, most people would think the opposite because of that ballpark. Mm-hmm. But this guy is a pitcher. He's a very cerebral person. He's had the, issues, like social anxiety issues.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a guy that knows how to pitch. It's a shame. The Dodgers really, look, it was 200 and whatever. He got $205 million.
Sure.
They overbid, you know, for him, but he really needs to be on the Dodgers. You have Kershaw and him, and then you go from whatever.
So I'll say this for Zach Greinke. If you look at the 2 years of the Diamondbacks, like, everything got better in year two. He threw 200 innings, right? He had the same amount of losses, but he had 17 wins compared to 13. If you look at the Ks per nine, they went up in a major way. They were 7.5 in 2016, up to 9.5 in 2017.
Yeah, it was more like when he was with the Dodgers and stuff. The K percentage, the walk percentage.
You wonder if you're just more comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, and fully healthy as well. I think the comfortability, and it's that year one of the contract when you got to justify.
Absolutely.
I don't care how long you've been in the league. It's with anybody else. If, you know, you get an exuberant contract.
Right.
You feel the need to show everybody how great you are. That's to me, that's just human nature. Look, the second half, he wasn't as good as the first.
Yep.
But I still think this is a guy that you can anchor your rotation. What I would prefer him to be my number two. Right now, I am pretty much, in the last couple of days, I haven't been a pitching snob. I am a pitching snob. I'm replying to Billy Hayes' tweet. It's January. Come March, I will have at least two pitchers out of the fourth round.
Zach Greinke, walk per nine went down. Home runs per nine went significantly down. The ERA goes way down. The FIP and XFIP both go way down. And what was really cool was the FIP and XFIP both right around that ERA. His ERA was 3.2. The FIP was 3.31. XFIP at 3.34. Basically, his numbers were what they were, which is very cool about Zach.
I pretty much projected him right now. This is just raw numbers. I do tweaks at the end of the month. 15 wins, 203 innings pitched, 200 strikeouts, 3.45 ERA, 1.15 whip. You have to have the expectation of like a 3.5 ERA.
If you tell me that those are numbers, I'll take that guy as my ace. He's that good.
In this landscape?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We're in on Zach Greinke. We take a break. We reset. The national championship game, the Alabama Crimson Tide, are up next. Roll Tide.